Amen. Praise God for all those little kids. Amen. Thanks for that song. Because I was one of those kids. When I was at the age of 4, I rode a bus to Sunday school. And I'm so glad for a church that cared. And because my dad got saved. And my brothers and sisters got saved. And they're all serving the Lord. And I'm so glad your church does that for children. Amen. And yeah, it's a little bit rowdy, but that doesn't matter, does it? And because it's God loves those kids. The book of Luke this morning, chapter number 14. The book of Luke and chapter number 14. Looking forward to a good week. If you cannot be here to help at Bible school, I sure hope you'll be praying. And sometimes people say, well, I'm busy, but I've got this day off. Well, come on by, because we always need a relief crew. Amen. And come on in. We'll let you do something. There's always things. Boy, the kids will say verses. They just need to say those verses to you. We can always stick a hat on you, and you can act in our missionary drama. We're going to tell the story of Adoniram Judson this year. If you don't know who he is, you should go read it about his life. He was one of the first missionaries that left America. It's an amazing story. Now, I've read about another man that was a missionary before him that came out of a plantation down in the south and went down into Jamaica and the islands. And he actually preceded Adoniram Judson as a missionary. And he was a Baptist, and he started quite a few churches down in those islands. And he preceded Judson in that time frame. But Judson left America, and he left as a Congregationalist, if you know the story. And it's quite a fascinating story, even his marriage and then going and... And when on the way over, he was going to meet William Carey. William Carey came from England, and William Carey was a Baptist. And William Carey was a strong Baptist. And Judson thought, well, I better study about what the Bible says, because when I meet Carey over in India, I'm going to need to set him straight. You know, I don't want him, you know, changing me. And the part I love about it is that Judson just studied his Bible. And by the time he got to India, he realized that wasn't that William Carey was right, the Bible was right. And Judson decided that he better get baptized. And so one of William Carey's associates baptized him and his wife. And now he's no longer a Congregationalist. And he's in India. And you got to remember, this is before telegrams and all that fun stuff. And there definitely was no internet and Wi-Fi and, you know, all that communication means. And so he wrote a letter back to the Congregational Society that was supporting him and said, you know, I've been baptized, I'm now a Baptist, which that meant he no longer had what? Any funds. And he was there in India, and he sent one of his associates with him that had gone with him and also had gotten baptized to go back to America and raise support. And that's kind of where the Baptist churches got into supporting missionaries that we now support all around the world. And it's an amazing story how God took care of him. And then he didn't even get to stay in India. The British, you know, they didn't want no American around. And so they chased him out, and the only place he could go was Burma. And he ended up in Burma, which is now Myanmar, and boy, did an amazing work for God. And buried two wives, many children. His first wife, all their children died. And his third wife outlived him, and he died, and did just amazing work for God. And so I challenge you to get a book about his life and read it. Tremendous challenge to us as believers today. Not that we don't have our own battles. You know, I don't compare ourselves to those people in that era. We live today. We live in 2019. But we still have a responsibility to be what God wants us to be. And so our theme, as you can see, live unto the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8, they're written up here. That whether we die or whether we live, we are the Lord's. And this morning I want us to read from the book of Luke a challenging portion of scripture in relation to our life. And so pick up the reading, verse number 25. It says, and there went great multitudes with him. This is our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I think it's always important to notice every little word in the Bible. And in verse 27, it does not say whosoever doth not bear the cross. It says His cross. Very specific about the cross that God has for you and I to bear. Verse 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." A tremendous passage that Jesus Christ left for us on discipleship. The life of every believer is a life that is to be lived unto the Lord. And yet how easy it is for us to begin to live our life for ourselves. How easy it is for our life to be captured by society, and whether we want to or not, we find ourselves living for society, living for the world. I think there are many a good person, a good man, a good lady, a home, good young people that intended to live unto the Lord, but they got captured by the world. After all, it is of necessity that we live in this world, amen? I don't know if any of you are planning to take up occupancy on the moon, but you probably won't, all right? And so we are forced by nature of creation to live in this world. And that's what the Bible even says. God doesn't say that God's people isolate themselves far away somewhere in a commune and have no interaction with the world. In fact, Jesus said we are just not to be of the world, but we are to be in the world. Because light and salt that is taken out has no value. Amen? Gentlemen, when your wife leaves the salt out of the food and just says, "Well, it's in the cabinet. I hope it blesses your meal." That doesn't do you any good, does it? She can even take it out and set it right in the middle of the table. And you're looking at that salt and you're thinking, "Wow, amen." But that salt's of no value until it is lightly sprinkled on your food, amen? And then it does its job. And a Christianity that is locked up in the cupboard, sitting as a showpiece somewhere, is of no value. Christians are to be in the world. But there's a danger of being in the world. That pretty soon the world captures our heart, our affections, and we lose our discipleship or our service for the Lord. So this morning I want to look at this passage as well as a couple of other key portions here in the book of Luke that lead us to this thought about living unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you would help us now in the next moments of time. God, that you would speak to us very clearly through your word. Father, through the written word of God as we read these verses. Father, through your spirit as we speak about these verses. And God, as we hear, Lord, even as Christ said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Father, we would become doers. And Lord, whatever the spirit of God through the word of God would prompt us in today, we'd become obedient servants to your will and way. And God, you know the needs, Lord, both physical, spiritual, emotional, of every person that's here today. And God, I pray that you would meet that need, Lord, as only you can. Help me to say the words you want spoken, the way you would want it presented. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us back up for just a moment into the book of Luke, into chapter number 9, and read a couple of other passages that our Lord left us in regards to these thoughts. Luke chapter number 9. And we're going to pick up the reading here in verse number 57. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And you read those type of verses and you think, wow, that's kind of harsh. But it is the Word of God, amen? And it's not just for Adoniram and Judson, you know, that left America on a ship to go to Burma. It's for every person that is a child of God. Look over in Luke chapter number 12. In Luke chapter number 12. There's a quarrel going on in Luke chapter number 12. And basically a debate over who should get what from the family. You can pick it up there in verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And so you can see they're having this debate over the family funds. In verse 14, Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now that would be a good motto for you to put above your Amazon account today. Amen? Because we are surely a people that think that life is based upon what you possess. They build storage units all over our world today. It's one of the greatest, fastest businesses, you know. And boy, you build them everywhere you go. Look for a storage unit. They're packed. They're sold out. They're rented out. You can't get one. You know why? Because we have stuff. We got stuff. And by the way, we're leaving all that stuff behind. When you die, you don't get buried with it. I guess you could choose to be buried with it. It'd be a big, big hole in the ground, all right? But you're not taking any of it with us. And boy, we just live in a world full of stuff, don't we? Jesus said, be careful about that. Beware of it. So now he's going to teach. Verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. That sounds like me in my RV sometime, amen? Where am I going to put it all? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and we will greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Could I say this morning that there are two types of fools in the Bible? I think we understand back in Psalm chapter 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I hope this morning there's no fools like that. Amen. I hope there's nobody sitting here today that says, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in salvation. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm just going to live my life and then it's over. I hope that you can say this morning, no, I'm not that fool. I have secured eternity by the blessed work of Jesus Christ and nothing else. By the way, it would be also a foolish person to think that you can secure eternal life through the works of the flesh. By doing good deeds, baptisms, going to church, paying out things to the poor people. Those are all blessed works, but not one of those will get you into heaven. It is only Jesus Christ. And it would be very foolish today to think that you're going to work your way into eternal life when the Bible very clearly says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, then you're living a dangerous life. You could be lost for all of eternity. But Jesus here talks about another type of fool. Now this man, and I suppose you could look at it a couple of different ways. But this morning I think I would look at it as a man that wasn't living his life for the Lord. And I say that because of the concluding thought that Jesus gives when he says in verse 21, he's talking about this man not laying up treasures for himself, not rich toward God. The Bible tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven, right? But I'll ask you a question. If you're not going to heaven, is it any good to lay treasures up there? Doesn't make any sense, right? So, before you can make a deposit into a bank, you must first open a what? An account. Now, if you don't want to open up an account in any bank, but you want to make deposits, let me know. I'll give you an account number you can use. But you won't be able to withdraw them because it's not your account. You understand what I'm saying? So to lay up treasures in heaven, we must first have a what? An account. We must first be born again. We must first be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must first have our name secured in the Lamb's Book of Life with a certainty that we're going to be there. Otherwise, it's meaningless to talk about laying up treasures in heaven when you're not going to be there. Jesus called this man a fool, because it'd be a pretty sad thing to have an account with nothing in it. Nothing to draw out. And nothing to receive if you believe that that account was going to be yours forever. The Bible talks about putting money in a bag with holes. Now, how many of you have had a pocket with a hole in it? Now, how many of you were ever foolish enough to just keep putting your money in there and letting it fall out of your pocket as you walk down the street and everybody else was picking up all your money? You said, "Preacher, that'd be crazy." I know, foolish. So you'd stop putting it in that pocket because it's going out. You wouldn't want to have a bag with holes in it and you're putting your money in and it's falling out. But how foolish is it for a believer who believes in eternal life to live for something that is not going to last? To not live for eternal things. And Jesus says, "Thou fool." So I say all of those things to draw us back to where we began here this morning in Luke chapter number 14, that the Bible doesn't just one time talk about this life being temporary and not of much value and eternity being everything to live for, but it's something that we ought to take very seriously. And that's what our discipleship is all about. And we come back to Luke chapter 14 and I think we see some areas where we lack in living for the Lord. I think the first one is what he talks about in verse 26. And it's such a hard verse when Jesus says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also," he says, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is not a condition of salvation. Salvation is by grace. This is a condition of service, following Christ. I think we know the verses. The Bible commands us that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our strength, with all of our being. We are to love God first, foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There is to be nothing else in our life. Our heart is to be dedicated to Him. And it is so clear in the Scriptures when you understand that if you love God with your all, then you have no love left for anything else. But it's such a joyous thing, because then God commands us what to do with our love. And He says, love your parents. He says, love your father, love your mother, love your wife, love your children. He commands our love. Our love is now under His control, not our control. I think sometimes we are lacking in our love. Our love for God. If I could ask you a question this morning, can you honestly, from the depths of your heart, say,